This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I know that the Giants are 3-7, but at least for one day, can we celebrate a win over a non-Washington football team? The Giants went out there yesterday and played good football, mistake-free football, and I am in a great mood, and I welcome in the guys. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. It was a good weekend for me. My girlfriend and I got into that HBO show, The Undoing, so that was a solid recommendation by Rico. It's not Lovecraft Country or Billions, but it was good enough where my girl kicked me off of the TV last night while the Ravens-Pats game was on to watch the new episode, so... Shout out to Rico for making that recommendation. Appreciate you, brother.
I don't know if you had the same thought when he said my girlfriend and I was like,
engaged. Yeah,
I thought didn't you think that? I didn't realize The Undoing was going to be the finishing piece.
Easy, fellas.
I'm just being honest. Rick, did you think the same thing? I'll give you guys
a cacao when that's happening. That's okay.
I thought we were going to get the doing, but we got the undoing.
Well, in a matter of speaking this weekend.
It's coming. I mean, it's coming. I'm not, Dave. I'm not concerned, but it's not about me. It's not about Chris. Today's about you.
Yeah, it is.
Because has 3-7 ever felt so good? Could you imagine 3-7 feeling this good?
This is great. It really is. I mean, I completely believe in the head coach. The quarterback, you feel a lot better the last couple weeks, has not turned the football over. He was, 17-17 when he wasn't pressured yesterday. He had big plays to Shepard. Slayton played well. Ingram with a good catch. The defense held Philadelphia to 0-9 on third downs. Guys, there's no reason, as we open the show this morning, that we can't say the Giants are absolutely, unequivocally involved in a race to win the NFC East.
Oh, and if you want to get real crazy, too, I mean, real crazy, and I get it, it's 3-7, but still, when you look at how bad the NFC East is, in the history of the NFC East, is you don't have repeat champions. So the Eagles won it last year. You just beat the Eagles. I mean, I don't know, are things lining up? It's 2020.
Look at the schedule Philadelphia has. I mean, the Giants' schedule is not easy, but look at Philly. Philly has a murderer's row. I mean, their easiest game for the next 5 weeks is probably this weekend in Cleveland, which is a game that I don't expect them to win. Here's the thing. Philly stinks. Philly is awful. Dallas is terrible, and Washington is brutal. So the Giants, this may be the year to be a little better than those garbage teams. And listen, the Giants should have swept Philadelphia. The Giants are, in my mind right now, are a better team than Philadelphia. So how you couldn't feel really good about this morning, today, and we'll get to a lot of calls at 800-919-3776, is beyond me. Chris, this is a good day to be a fan of the Giants.
It's a good day to be a fan of the Giants. It's also a good day to be a New York Giant because you're going into bye week feeling pretty good about what you're doing. I mean, they had it all going yesterday. I mean, the only negative that I would point to in yesterday's game was the defense allowing a little too much mileage on the ground, and that's thanks in part to what Boston Scott did coming out of halftime and Miles Sanders getting busy. But other than giving up too many rushing yards, I mean, that was a sound victory by the Giants in all three phases of your football team. So if you're a Giants fan, you should feel good about the trajectory of this team because unlike the other three teams in the division, you're actually pointed up. And so that's the thing that I took away from yesterday's game because the Eagles look god-awful on offense, especially with the passing game. I don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz, but he's not right. And I don't know if it's an injury or whatever it is or the guys in the locker room just don't believe in him anymore, but he's not right. But, I mean, based on what we saw the Giants do yesterday, man, I don't know how you can't feel good about what you're doing, man, especially with what Daniel Jones has been doing the last couple of weeks. Like, he's not turning the football over consecutive games with no turnovers, but beyond that, just playing within himself, Dave, picking and choosing his spots to be aggressive and push the ball downfield. And before the game, Chris Spielman talked about the three things that Joe Judge wanted Daniel Jones to do going into that game against the Eagles. The three things were stay aggressive, stay with the game plan, and know the situation. And I thought DJ did a hell of a job with all three of them.
I thought he was excellent. I really did. And you know what I thought was a huge drive? When Boston Scott scored the touchdown, then they go for two because that's all they do is go for two.
They answered the score.
And they went back quickly and effectively. Huge play. I think it was to Shepard.
Shepard made a great catch and then Tate made a good catch.
Shepard and Tate.
Then Tate made a good catch and then the Giants powered in on the touchdown from Gallman yet again. Look, offensively, 27 points with the way the defense plays and not turning the football over. They were clearly, Rick, right? Clearly the better team yesterday.
Clearly. I mean, especially in the first half. I mean, Gallman's been great. I mean, the addition of Alfred Morris has been good. I mean, I got to be honest, too, and I know people were a little bit hesitant to buy into, you know, the play calling early on, like a little bit just because of what you saw in Dallas. But I think he's, I mean, the play calling's been great.
Yeah, the play calling.
No problem at all with the play calling.
Yeah, the play calling from Jason Garrett has been phenomenal. I think they discovered the formula that they need to have for success, which is allow the ground game to set up opportunities to take shots downfield. Less is more when it comes to Daniel Jones. They had 36 rush attempts versus 31 passing attempts, and Daniel Jones threw the ball 28 times because you got to take out the 3 sacks.
And he was efficient.
But he was efficient. I mean, on throws of 10 yards or more downfield, he was 7-9 for 167 yards. I mean, it don't get more efficient than that, but that speaks to what Joe Judge wanted from his quarterback, which was to stay aggressive. And that throw that he made at the 4-minute mark in the fourth quarter to Darius Slayton, that was pretty much the game-winning play. Like, that was the equivalent of what we were looking for in Philadelphia when Evan Engram couldn't come up with that catch, because that set up the Graham Gano field goal, and you went up by 2 possessions.
How good has he been, by the way? I mean,
he's been so good they decided to sign him to a contract in the middle of the season.
That's right. You know, that doesn't have the same negative connotation it did back when he kicked that, like, 60-whatever-yard field goal to beat the Giants a couple of years ago.
And your punter was great yesterday, too.
He was great.
I mean, that was a big deal. Field position was a big deal. I thought the throw that Daniel Jones made to Deion Lewis was big, too.
Outstanding.
Was a really good throw. Because all of a sudden, I mean, you're punting from your end zone. And it gives you some breathing room. I thought the only wasn't, it's not even a negative. I thought the only thing you could point to that was maybe a missed opportunity was late in the first half when you got the ball back, not to put points on the board.
They were very awkward and clunky with the way they tried to get into field goal range.
I'm just glad that he didn't throw an interception right there.
I know.
I mean, if Nickell Roby-Coleman didn't have feet for hands, that would have been a pick, and it could have been a pick six. So I'm glad that that didn't result in a turnover, but you're starting to see less and less of those plays in every single game. Because that was the only turnover-worthy play you could probably say Daniel Jones had yesterday. And one of the best things that he did was understanding when to eat the football. And, yeah, you don't like the fact that he took a stack on a 3-step drop to open the game, but not throwing that ball and living to fight another down gives your team a chance. And you come right back with the completion of Slayton for a first down. So those are the things that we're looking for, the signs of growth, the signs of maturation in terms of decision-making from your young quarterback. If he continues to do that, based on how this defense is playing and how this offensive line is playing, this Giants team is going to have a chance in a lot of these games this season.
I think the other positive, too, was if the Giants look like a better coach team than the Eagles yesterday.
Yes, I think they are.
I think they are, too. And I mean, they've been trending in this direction. I mean, you look at, they should have won the Dallas game. They win the Washington game. They should have won the Eagles
game.
They probably should have beat the Bucs, in all honesty. I mean, if Daniel Jones doesn't have those two, I mean, atrocious coming into the second half, those turnovers, you beat
they're
Washington,
what? They're 3-7. There's no reason that they shouldn't be, at worst, 4-6 and probably 5-5 right now.
Yeah, and leading this division. I mean, you can see it, and we keep saying it. I mean, week to week, they look like they're getting better and better. And at a certain point, I think Dave Rothenberg needs to take a step back and really appreciate what Dave Gettleman has done for this
Stop
team.
It. You know what? Please. Really. You know what? You 10 minutes of Rick doing the right thing and being kind and being nice and leading me down a nice path, and I felt good about it. And for you to throw that out there, no. The 3-7.
He has made some good moves, though. I mean, he has made some good moves.
Made
some bad ones, too. You don't hit on every move. But, I mean, coaching staff looks like okay.
Coaching staff looks good. You think that this is a Dave Gettleman 100%? His coaching staff?
No, I don't. But I think some of the moves he made this offseason, I don't think anyone expected this defense to be as good as this defense has been.
I agree with you. And listen, he has made some good moves. Slayton was a good move, and Bradbury was a good move, and Blake Martinez. We fixed the Alec Ogletree disaster of a signing.
Your D-line is legit.
It's really good. Tomlinson's like a good player. B.J. Hill's a good player. Leonard Williams has turned himself into a good player.
Dexter Lawrence.
He's a good player. Did you hear yesterday when Chris Spielman is like, boy, I've always liked Leonard Williams. You know, now on the Giants, prior on the Jets, I've always thought he was a terrific player. I'm like, what are you talking about?
This was not the same player. That was not, you didn't see this Leonard Williams on the Jets.
No.
No, he's playing to what we thought he would be when we drafted
him. This is the best version of what you've ever seen.
Well, that's the difference good coaching can make, though, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, you turn good players into great players and average players into solid contributors. Like, that's what good coaching does. And it feels like, for the first time in a long time, the Giants have a really solid coach. And now it's just a matter of being able to get him the talent. And I think people are starting to ask the question, is Dave Gettleman the right person for the job? We all thought it was a fait accompli that he'd be gone at the end of the season. But if this team continues to play the way that they are, I mean, it might not be the foregone conclusion that we all thought.
Well, that scares me a little bit.
I told you, Dave.
Well, I'm just telling you, Dave.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Chris.
Is competing for the division in December, even though you're probably talking about a six-win team winning this division, it's going to be hard to pull the plug on that, Dave.
I've got to
match
that, by the way.
Especially if Daniel Jones keeps doing what he's doing.
6 wins will win this division for the Giants.
Yeah, 6 wins will do it.
So they've got to win in Cincinnati.
They've got to have six.
So they win in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. which I think
they've got to win at home. They got to win at home versus Cleveland or Arizona.
Yeah, that's what's going to decide.
And they win at home against Dallas. So that's what you win in Cincinnati. You split home against Arizona and Cleveland, and you win at home against Dallas.
Well, here's the thing: Philadelphia has got two gimme games at the end of the season too. They've got the Dallas Cowboys and they've got the Washington Football Team at home. So you got to think they're capable of beating both of those teams. So that puts them at 5-10-1. So if you're the Giants, you got to get 3 wins to catch them. Because you're a full game back now.
You can argue, Chris, that outside of those two, and you're right, almost gimme games,
mm-hmm.
the Eagles' schedule, you could not find another win on it.
Well, they're basically playing the same teams. I mean, so I don't, you know, the opponents that the Eagles have and the opponents that the Giants have, save maybe one team, they're all the same. So,
yeah, but if they don't win in Cleveland this week, and they go to 3-6-1. You don't look at their chances.
They're at Green Bay. They got to play the Saints.
Seahawks.
I mean, they got the Seahawks at home, I mean, as opposed to you going to Seattle.
Right.
And then they got to go to Cleveland to play the Browns.
And then they go to Arizona.
And they got Arizona.
Go to Arizona, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they got four common opponents in their final 6 games.
Look, I'm not saying it's going to happen. It should have. We should be in a position where we say the Giants have a stranglehold on the division right now. It's a shame that they let those games get away. Because they should have beaten Philadelphia the first time out. Then you would have swept them. Now you'd be half a game back right now, and you'd be looking pretty. Or you should have won the Tampa game.
Giants,
you should have won the Dallas game.
The Giants saved the NFL season for us and for what we do. Because if they had lost that game, their season's over.
Yes. You know, it was such a crossroads game, guys. If Jones goes out there and plays poorly and the Giants lose, you're 2-8, you have no hope, and you're probably thinking there's a realistic chance you're going to replace the quarterback. He goes out there, plays really well. You pound Philadelphia, you win that game, the division is very much alive, and now there's hope heading into this Monday. That was a huge win for the Giants yesterday.
A huge win, and just in general, too. I mean, how this team is trending. I mean, even just moving forward, period. I mean, Philly doesn't seem like they can figure it out. I mean, Chris mentioned, I don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz. I don't know if he misses Zach Ertz. They don't look good. Is he trying to do too much? They're starting to get healthy, but even then, I mean, when you look at all three phases of this New York Giants team, how could you not be excited? You can't not be excited. This looks like a fully functional, well-coached football team right now.
They are well-coached.
Well, it feels like they're forming an identity, and they're building towards something, which is something that we couldn't say the last 3 years when they've had the worst record in football. Like, you actually see an identity. They're going to fly around on defense. They're going to bring a lot of energy. And yet they don't have any dominant pass rushers, especially guys on the edge, but they're going to do it by committee. Patrick Graham is going to scheme up and manufacture pass rush. And on the back end, those guys are opportunistic. They're going to take advantage of any miscues. Now, they didn't get any turnovers yesterday, but you can see that they're flying around. Like, you can see that this defense is going to create negative plays. All right, that's the thing that probably impresses me the most with that side of the ball. They find a way to create negative plays to force teams to make mistakes, and then they're able to get off the field that way. And then when they get in the red zone, they're pretty solid down there too. So, I mean, if they can keep that up, that's going to keep you in a lot of games. And then with the Giants on offense, they're going to run the ball. And if that means Daniel Jones is going to be involved and he has to get 66 yards rushing, so be it. That's what we're going to do. I like that new quarterback counter play that Jason Garrett is sprinkling in there and out too. It's got kind of like a split belly, a split flow look to it. But you saw it yesterday for the touchdown run for 43 yards. Like, being able to, you know, pull stuff like that out and allow Daniel Jones to get into the flow of the game, to get comfortable, and then have him take shots downfield. Like, I think that's what they have to do. And you got to credit the coaching staff for this turnaround that we're seeing in a young quarterback. Because that seems to be where he's most comfortable. Establish the run, establish the physicality at the line of scrimmage with the offensive line, make it a little bit easier for those guys in pass protection, and then let Daniel Jones take a few shots.
He looks comfortable. The last 2 weeks, he looks comfortable.
He looks like a different quarterback, doesn't he?
Well, Rick, wouldn't you be comfortable if your offensive line is allowing you to rush for over 160 yards? They had 90 yards rushing in the first quarter.
No, but I think part of that, too, is, and I mean, you can tell. There's no question in my mind that they focused every single day they're in the facility on Daniel Jones' ball security. Even when he gets sacked, like, you can tell when he runs the football two hands, how he holds the football when he runs. Like, that's something they've worked on, and he's getting better. I just, like, watching him in these last two games, it looks like the game has actually started to slow down for him a little bit. Like, it's not moving as fast. Because the talent is there. I mean, he's a sneaky good athlete.
Yeah, he's fast.
He's really fast.
Yeah.
So
deceptively fast, though.
Well, like, I think you can tell. I mean, you can tell by how the other team reacts to how fast he is. I mean, on that touchdown run, he's untouched.
Yeah.
He just, I mean, he's.
Yeah, you don't think, you're right, Rick. He's not a guy that you would think is as fast as he really is. Like, that's one of those you got to get into the game and you see how fast he's moving.
Yeah, I mean, he's up to like 19, 20 miles an hour. Like, he can move.
Well, wasn't that the fastest we've seen a quarterback run this year on the one he fell over in Philadelphia?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's just going too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's as fast as his little legs will take him. I mean, he's fast.
So disrespectful, Dave. No. As fast as his little legs will take him.
That's like when you do those overspeed drills, Canty.
Yep.
And you just start going too fast.
Yeah.
Like, we had a guy, we had a strength coach thought it was a good idea to, like, to attach us. He would attach bungees to us and then, like, connect them to his pickup truck. And, like, you'd have to, like, try to keep up with the pickup truck.
He had no choice but to go that
until
fast.
Your legs gave out and then he started dragging you. Then you get dragged by the pickup truck till he stopped.
That sounds safe.
It was no good, yeah.
And the less he liked you, the faster he went.
Exactly right.
We'll go right just dragging about you to the ground. 18 miles an hour. Just see how fast you can go. All right, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on DCR, PRB, the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You know who's joining us at 10 o'clock this morning?
Jordan Renan.
That's right. Jordan Renan.
You know he'll have a lot to say.
Well, and today's the day we'd like to hear it from Mr.
That's
Jordan
a good
Renan.
Day for you. This is all about you today, Dave. This is for the next.
Great day. It's a red letter day. This is
the next,
you know,
hour
what this means?
And 47 minutes. It's all about you.
This means that on November 29th, which is the Giants' next game against Cincinnati, they have meaningful football. When was the last time the Giants played a meaningful game late November, early December?
I put that tweet out there yesterday, Dave. When's the last time the Giants were playing relevant football around Thanksgiving?
Years.
Can't remember it.
Years.
Yeah.
So I get it's 3-7, but you know what? At least it's meaningful.
Yeah, so now you can enjoy Thanksgiving. You know, hopefully they continue to win, and you can enjoy Hanukkah too. I mean, this is going to be great for you.
They got to win in Cincinnati. They got to win that game.
That's not.
I thought
a layup,
Cincinnati
though.
Be better yesterday too. Cincinnati got beat down yesterday.
I didn't.
Well, I know you,
no,
didn't.
You did. I didn't.
You took Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I didn't.
And Chris, by the way, a hearty congratulations! Another thorough victory for you. The Raiders -4.
Yeah, that was a lot better than RJ Bell's pick of the 49ers +10.
He stinks.
He's starting
to really aggravate me too. By the way, because he's given us picks, and he did it on the K Show too. We actually got an extra half point with us. That he doesn't even take in his own picks. Like, he's giving us picks.
Yeah, so it's
that,
like, what are you doing? Are you trying to sabotage our listeners?
Well, no, he's saying that it's a conglomerate. That's not just him with those picks.
No, exactly right. He's given us picks that all of a sudden, like, he brings back to the people who are actually in the Super Contest with him. Like Fezzik, who lost his mind with the whole, did you listen to that clip?
That was sensational. And by the way, there were two yesterday that you would have wept over. Absolutely wept over.
Oh, the Browns.
The Browns stepping out at the 1 yard line. I mean, smart play, but oh my God. And Arizona not kicking the extra point.
Was it a smart play though, Dave?
Well, yeah, because then they just kneeled the ball.
I mean, if he runs it in, it's a two possession game with less than a minute to go. What difference does it make?
I guess it really makes very little difference.
Okay.
But
well, the coach told him, get the first down and then get down. So that's what he did.
He waited to the very end of that to go down, though.
No, but RJ, I'm telling you, he's given us
there
the
with
pick.
The contract negotiations.
Exactly right. He's given us the pick that, like, he brings to the table, and they're like, no, we're not. Are you crazy? Yeah. We're not going with that.
San Fran +10. Although they should have covered that game. They had so many opportunities to cover, and they had a lead early, but they let that get away.
Oh, mistakes. I mean, just too many mistakes. When you have that many injuries, you don't have your starting quarterback. I mean, you can't make that many mistakes playing the Saints.
Winston looked awful, huh?
I don't care who's. Throwing in like that is not easy. I didn't expect him to look great.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's going to have a chance, though.
Luton
play
played well.
He did?
I don't even get me started. Green Bay. What a joke. Embarrassing.
Well, you went 1-2 yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, I went 1-2.
That's why you're in a mood.
Well, no, I'm in a mood because I'm sitting here looking at my picks, and I like both your picks. I thought, I mean, who knew there was going to be a monsoon last night? But I actually really liked your Rams pick, too. But I've bet the Rams a couple times.
It's a wonderful selection.
I know, but I bet a couple times with the Rams, and Jared Goff ends up screwing me because he makes a mistake. But
yeah, you can't trust Jared Goff.
No, but Russell Wilson struggles that Rams team. Russell Wilson has not been good the last couple weeks.
That division is all tangled up, huh?
All tangled up.
But it's always been a thing with Russell Wilson and the Rams. Like, I remember when the Rams were terrible, yet they were the team to be able to go in Seattle and beat Russell Wilson. I don't know.
Why is he throwing that ball into the end zone? I mean, he just run for the first down.
Yeah.
He was not throwing an interception yesterday in the end zone like that. It was brutal.
He was not great.
Mr. Unlimited, Rick. What do you mean? He's Mr. Unlimited.
He's Mr. Unlimited.
He can do anything he wants out there.
You think the MVP has fallen from the wayside?
Hey, guys.
I think the MVP is Pat Mahomes right now.
Yeah, it feels like it does.
Kyler Murray is making a case, though.
Ooh,
sensational. Kyler Murray is making a case. That
we'll
last drive.
I was literally
about to send out the tweet about how much of a difference Stephon Diggs made for Josh Allen in that Bills team.
Which is still true.
I was literally about to send out the tweet, and the end of the tweet was, that's a good win in the desert.
Oh.
And then, exactly. And then DeAndre Hopkins.
Freezing cold takes would have been on that like before you even tweeted it. I'm glad you didn't hit send.
Yeah, I didn't hit send. Like Herbert would say, don't push send. But, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, man, triple coverage coming down with that ball. But even Kyler Murray making the throws to set up the Hail Mary attempt.
It's the Hail Murray.
The Hail Murray?
Okay. Hail Murray.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Rick, this is for you. I have a read for you.
What is it?
The AFC has 9 teams with at least 6 wins this season. According to Elias, it's the first instance. This is such a great read. And it's not even me, it's the read. It's the first instance where one conference has at least 9 teams with 6 wins through week 10 since the creation of the AFC and NFC in 1970. One might say the AFC is loaded. Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whoever wrote that read is trolling us now.
I think Dinahan put his masterpiece.
Dinahan's a bad guy, is what he is, really.
No, he's terrific. Why would you say bad guy?
Because he's a bad guy, because he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's trolling me, because we're not in the same studio. There's no repercussions now.
What would you do otherwise? Hit him?
Maybe.
You say that like he would be any less diabolical if we were not all in the same place.
No, but he's not usually as diabolical to me. Like, he would be equally diabolical to Dave.
He's diabolical to me. Studio. He gives me these Kerbibbin names all the time in the reads, and he does that on purpose.
Yeah, because it's good for the show.
Right, and it's good for the show to reinforce that I was right, that the AFC is in fact loaded.
That was, I mean, just talk about throwing a dart in the dark and going bullseye with it. You had no idea when you said
that. It's amazing that you can at least give credit where credit is due.
It's amazing that you want credit for when you said it, you realized that it was ridiculous when you said it.
I did not realize anything. The AFC is loaded. And let me bring Santiago into the conversation.
It's loaded with the team. But you're saying it's loaded, and you didn't even point to the teams that you were – I mean, the teams that you thought were going to be the teams aren't even necessarily – like, you didn't think Pittsburgh was going to be – I was the one that said Pittsburgh was going to be this good.
I said the Colts was a team that I thought was going to be excellent. Tennessee, we knew Kansas City, Baltimore. Baltimore's been lesser than I thought, and they're still 6-3.
Yeah, but I mean, when you look at look at the AFC right now and tell me, outside of Kansas City, which AFC team do you feel like could actually win a Super Bowl?
Right now?
Right now.
Pittsburgh.
That's it.
Probably so.
Yeah, that's it.
But doesn't mean it's not loaded. It's loaded. I mean, he just gave me the stat.
It's loaded with mediocre teams. It's loaded with mediocre teams. You're correct.
Oh, stop it. Stop
it's
it.
Fine. It's loaded with mediocre teams.
Your problem is you just can't admit when you're wrong. When I'm wrong, I admit I'm wrong. You can't do it.
Well, because when Canty and I are right, we never get credit for it. You don't bring up, oh, hey, that was a great call you made. Like when you asked me on the spot who was going to win the Masters and I told you Dustin Johnson.
Oh, well, here we
that.
Go. Let's tackle this for a minute. Good call on Dustin Johnson. Lovely call. Great call.
I remember I said, you asked me about Tiger Woods. I said, I'm a little bit nervous because he's going to have to play all that golf early in the morning.
Another terrific call.
Didn't realize he was going to take a 10 on a par 3, but I mean.
That was something else, huh?
He bounced back, though. I give the guy credit, man. I mean, he bounced back. You take that 10 out of the mix, he's right there.
Oh, right there.
Could you imagine? If I won that green jacket, I mean, Pauline has got to be just walk in with nothing but just that green jacket on. Oh, what a life. What a life.
I got many tweets this weekend saying you look just like one golfer.
Well, there's two. I got Santiago telling me during last week that I look like Wolf, and then
no, that's not the one I was getting.
No, you got Answer.
Is that his name? Answer.
Answer.
Yeah.
The Answer. That was my nickname, though, by the way, in the IHL. The yeah. Question. Allen Iverson was the Answer. I was the Question.
You were the Question?
Yeah, because I decided it was a good idea to go get cornrows before one of the games.
Oh, God.
And the guy showed up, and I had cornrows. I could barely put my helmet on.
Oh, God.
It's a terrible idea. Awful.
But before we're going to take a break and get to the calls in a moment. But before we do, you say I deserve credit. Santi, tell the guys the interaction you had with the wonderful guy this morning.
Okay, so I went to get a coffee this morning in a break. And there's a guy with a little food cart outside, got a coffee from him, and I'm wearing my ESPN jacket because it's cold outside. And the guy is a big listener. He loves all you guys, listens to the show, listens to the station religiously. And then out of nowhere, he just drops in, I love that Dave Rothenberg. He's so smart. Mm-hmm. Not making this up. That's actually what he said verbatim. Mm-hmm. Very nice guy.
I mean, when you spend 2 hours, 5 days a week, and then 3 hours on a Saturday, just continually focusing on how smart you are, at a certain point, people are going to believe it.
See, you can't give credit. This is a bright, well-schooled man who hears me spout analysis and says, this is a smart guy, and for some reason, that pains you.
Well, listen, I mean, if I had a segment every single day that just focused on how smart I was, with a guy who lives in my basement asking me the questions, of course people on the radio would think I was smart.
It's got a point there.
Like if we spent 10 hours a week talking about hockey, people are like, "Oh my God, why is Rick doing radio? He should be a GM or a coach somewhere."
I don't need to be bullied into that sentiment, Dave. I said that already. If you do have a segment touting how smart you are, it's going to catch on at some point.
Yeah, but this is 6 days a week he does it. This isn't just on the Dave Rothenberg show. I mean,
this is an excellent point. We do hear from Andy every day.
Every single day. Every single day.
My concern over this whole thing is, why were you not wearing the Cowboys jacket?
I've not That's worn the Cowboys jacket in weeks.
And why would that be?
Because they are god-awful.
Yep. So you're a front runner?
No, not at all.
No, he's just disappointed. I understand it. His team stinks.
I mean, wear that thing.
There's way too much talent in the Dallas Cowboys to be that bad. Let's be honest. No. Way too much talent.
It's one of the great. It might be the best story of 2020 since this has been such a horrible year.
That everything is just story. So terrible that the Giants will win the division with five wins, six wins.
Can you imagine that, though, and host the playoff, and host the playoff game?
Can you imagine if they won the division with five?
No, I can't. I don't think that would happen.
I try not to think about such things.
But six could.
No, six. I think six will, Dave.
So if they go 6-10, you believe they're hosting a playoff game?
Yeah, I don't think the division winner of the NFC East is going to have seven wins. This is not going to be like that Seahawks team from a few years ago or that Panthers team from 2014. I think the division winner for the NFC East will have six wins. And it could be the Eagles at 5-10-1.
Right. So if the Giants don't get to six, then it would be the Eagles at 5-10-1.
Yeah.
It'd be the tie, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is putrid.
The saddest thing about it is that the one team that it would benefit the most to win the division with six wins, it would do nothing but work in the Giants' favor. Like, it's irrelevant whether the Giants win it or not because they get the experience. They're in a good place.
Pains you to say.
Wow, he admitted that. He had a Cowboys fan.
The only downside to the Giants winning the division,
is
though,
the draft pick.
Is the draft pick.
Yeah.
But even then, it's not that. I mean, how far off are you falling?
This team needs talent.
Let Gettleman
they
pick
have a,
them.
They
He'll
have
get
a
them.
Talent issue.
Gettleman will get them.
Gettleman will get it? That's who we're going to lean on?
The guy that drafts
felons?
No, he
moves
just
up
said.
In the back end of the first round.
But he just
draft
said it,
felons?
That it would pain me to say that the Giants are in a good place. I've been saying for the last few weeks that the Giants are in a good place. He thinks I'm just saying this now. Like, I've been giving the offensive line more credit, been giving the defensive line more credit. The Giants are good. They're better than the record shows.
Please, they're not good.
I shouldn't say they're good. They're in a good place, like I said.
They're serviceable, and they are in position.
The Giants are one of the best 3-7 teams we've ever seen, Dave. How's that?
That's what they said yesterday on the broadcast.
That what he said?
We'll ever see.
Yeah, the best 2-7 team in the history of football. I don't know.
They compete, man. Listen, you can say they're not a good team, but they have a chance to win every single one of these games that they play.
Outside of the one, they are in every single game. Let's go to some of these calls. These Giants fans have waited years to make this phone call. Let's go to Josh in Katona. Josh, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Love the show. Thank you for having me on.
Welcome aboard, Josh.
All right. Well, real quick, I love the energy of the Giants. It's a great Giant Monday. 2-0 in the division right now, at least doing our thing. Let me ask you a question. How do you evaluate right now the Gettleman? You guys were talking about Gettleman earlier. How do you evaluate that Jabril Peppers trade right now? Looking pretty good for us, right?
It looks like a good deal at the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid deal. You got Dexter Lawrence, Jabril Peppers.
And Zeitler, right?
No. Zeitler was the, OV.
Yeah.
Zeitler was OV straight up. You ended up getting O'Shane Zimenez was the third player that ended up resulting in because you got a third round pick, too.
So bye-bye to Peckham, right? I mean, see you later?
Well, I mean, we've already been there.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they made that decision that they wanted to move off of him right after they paid him, which made no sense, but, I mean.
They felt like they had no choice, right?
Yeah.
They feel like we're in a better place now because of it.
Well, you could say that, but who knows? I mean, who knows what your offense would look like?
You could never prove.
Yeah, with a healthy Odell Beckham Jr., maybe with a coaching staff that could handle him. I mean, how much better would your team be offensively?
Josh, we understand what you're doing, and thanks for the call. You can't stand Odell Beckham, and you're going to call and say that. I mean, listen, they're 3-7, not like they're 8-2, for God's sakes.
I mean, but say what you want about Beckham, he's a top competitor, man. And at the time the Giants traded him, he was one of the best playmakers in the NFL. Now, who's to say that it wouldn't have worked out differently for Beckham if you had Joe Judge here earlier as opposed to Pat Shurmur and Ben McAdoo? It might have looked different. You might not be in a situation where you felt like you had to move on from him because he became a malcontent. Look at how Joe Judge handled Golden Tate.
Beautifully.
So I'm just saying, exactly. But, I mean, there was Joe Judge's ability to connect with the players on a personal level. That's what creates that kind of buy-in. And if you don't have that with today's athlete, you got no shot at being able to get everybody on board with whatever your message or your agenda is. And it's clear that Beckham didn't buy into McAdoo or Pat Shurmur. But, yeah, listen, the trade that Dave Gettleman made at the time, we didn't necessarily know how to feel about it. We said, let's take some time to evaluate it. And now, based on what your defense has become, I mean, you got to say it was a solid trade because Dexter Lawrence and Jabril Peppers are key contributors.
You know what they do really well, Rick? Really well. Because Peppers is a good player. They put him in the best position to succeed. And we've talked about that for years and years of taking guys and putting them in position where their strengths are magnified. And I think that Judge and Graham and this entire franchise right now is doing that with Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the addition of Logan Ryan also helps. But, I mean, Peppers, you know, he flies around the field. I mean, he is a guy that, you know, every time you turn on the Giants, I mean, you notice Jabril Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been good on special teams, too. I just don't know. I mean, if you can, yeah, it looks good now. But, I mean, if you had a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. to add to this offense right now with Daniel Jones, how much better your offense would be?
It would be scary.
I mean, your defense has been good, much better than we thought it would be. But, I mean, I couldn't even, if you had... And the only reason you traded Odell Beckham Jr. was because you didn't have the culture inside that locker room to control him. And that's why it wasn't a performance thing.
No.
It was because you couldn't control him.
He's great.
I would have loved to have seen what he would have looked like.
With a different quarterback, right?
With a different quarterback with different coaching staff.
Different culture. Just a different culture altogether. Like, I would love to see what Beckham looks like with an organization that had more structure in place. Like, when he came to the Giants, they were falling apart. I mean, he was the guy that saved Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin's job for another year or two.
Yeah, he masked how bad this, in fact, really was.
Exactly.
Yep. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum's going to be in a good mood. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. Good morning, Ricardo. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah. I mean... Really quick, I changed Rick's name to Ricardo on his Wikipedia account, so I just so it can be clear or whatever, so I'm not actually making a mistake. It's actually but really quick, I think the biggest three things that I saw from the Giants yesterday in the win: one, they play field position phenomenally on how well they handle their special teams and how well they pin a team back and they play the position. Field position great all game, and they've done it great for most of the year. Another thing the defense did was they finally really corrected that third down bug that was the first half of the year, and they made this team go 0-for-9 on third down, which is phenomenal. And I think the biggest thing is you saw it last week as well, but Daniel Jones again made a concerted effort that every time he got hit, every time he ran the ball, you know, there was 5 points of contact like Tiki Barber holding that ball tight. Even on that first play of the game where he got sacked, you could see like, well, I don't have nothing. Hold it tight. Get hit. We'll make it the next play. And the very next play, he throws 22 yards to Darius Slayton. This team is being coached so well from top to bottom. And you guys were saying with the possibility with the playoffs, they're still monumentally long ways away from competing for where they want to be. But you gotta want to see them have a playoff game, and you have to want to see Daniel Jones in the playoffs, or even in a game in Week 16, 17, where it's for the playoffs, and you got to see what he can do, because that experience.
You can't go, Colin, to your point. You can't go another year. You can't go another year with playing meaningless football. That's to nobody's benefit. I mean, even if they don't come all the way back and win the NFC East, the fact that the rest of these games, if they hold up their end of the bargain,
They
mean something.
Yeah. And I think the reason that everyone, and thanks for the call, Colin, that everyone's so excited, Chris, is because the arrow points up. For the first time in a long time, you look at things and you say, this team, without a doubt, is heading in the right direction.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, we said that after the first game that they had Monday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And looking back at it now, I mean, you feel really, really good about that performance because you're talking about an undefeated team through week 10 of the NFL season. So, I mean, the fact that you were able to make that a fourth quarter game, I mean, pretty much every game that you've played this year, except for the 49ers game, was a fourth quarter game. And as long as you keep games competitive, you're hoping that as time goes on and these young guys get more experience, they find themselves on the winning side of it. And that's exactly what's happened the last couple of weeks. Now, would you like the defense to keep teams from cutting into double-digit leads that you have at halftime? Sure. But, I mean, there's a learning curve that comes along with trying to figure out how to win games in this league. And it looks like the Giants are starting to turn that corner. Now, we'll see what happens out of the bye week in Cincinnati. To me, this is another one of those games that the Giants should win. Because if you lose that game, that's a disappointing loss on a lot of different levels. But mainly you're looking at it from your quarterback and evaluating him and saying, all right, Daniel Jones, we're expecting you to be able to be the difference in why we're winning these types of games. Because Cincinnati, from a talent standpoint, they've got some players, but I don't know that in terms of building an identity, they're as far along as the Giants are. So that's a game that they should win.
You're right. And you win that game, and Philly loses this week and next week, and all of a sudden you've got a whole mess on your hands in this division. A good mess. Down the stretch.
You know what I like too, Dave, and tell me if you notice this too, is just the attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cullen brings up the special teams. I mean, the one play, I didn't necessarily love Deion Lewis taking the ball out of the end zone to open up the game. I don't know if that was a great decision, but I mean, even Daniel Jones with the hard count yesterday. Clearly, Philadelphia was struggling with the hard count.
Not only that, they were struggling with the up-tempo too. And the fact that Daniel Jones, after completions and after long gains, went up-tempo, that speaks to him understanding the situation with football, man. That stuff matters. Being good in the red zone, that stuff matters. And as long as the kid recognizes, you know, when you can't make mistakes and when you can't be over aggressive, like that's a part of what it takes in order to be a really good quarterback in this league. So credit to him for that.
Now, there's no reason with his athleticism that this Giants team can't continue to get better in the red zone.
Then he's getting better.
Well, he's clearly getting better. This team has gotten better. I mean, they're actually – what the Giants are doing now reminds me a lot of what I think you're seeing with the Miami Dolphins. I mean, the Miami Dolphins, you can tell. I mean, watching them play, I mean, you pretty much –
you could tell. Last year they had something going.
Yep.
And now it's just a continuation.
Mm-hmm. That's scary.
I mean, you can pretty much on cue just chalk up like the Miami Dolphins will make at least one huge special teams play a game.
So as a Jets fan, you're saying that there was some carryover from 2019 to 2020.
Not really. I mean, I think with the you got a clean quarterback.
I'm just messing with you.
No, but I think it's not the carryover as much as it is you can tell when a team buys into what the head coach is selling.
Well, yeah, it's the culture. It's the culture. You're not talking about the wins and losses as much as you're talking about the team being competitive consistently. And you saw that with the Dolphins last year, and now look at what they are. They're right in the mix for the AFC East title.
Yeah, and they're going to have the Texans top pick.
Yeah. It feels like the Giants are on the verge of being where the Dolphins were at the end of 2019.
Yeah.
And if that's like the case, you feel really good as a Giants fan because you know what the next year can turn into.
Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt, you're next up on 98.7, buddy. Good morning, Matt.
I'm not really a Giants fan, but, you know, I don't want to throw any cold water on you. I think they're going great. But you always have to remember, there's a big difference between winning when people don't expect you to win and winning when you're expected to win. What you got to do is look at the Jets from last year. They won those games in the second half when nobody expected them to. Now this year,
No. Matt, I'm going to tell you why this. The Giants needed to win that game yesterday to have any semblance of a chance to win this division, which they did, and now they do. The Jets were playing, for lack of a better term, meaningless football down the stretch last year. They had no chance of competing for a playoff spot. None.
Now I'll make my second point real quick. With the way that football is going with Kyler Murray and Tua and Mahomes and all these guys, man, you are going to need a 1986 level defense to beat these teams, and you are going to need speed all over the field, linebackers, safeties. You need speed to beat these teams. That's what the game is now.
Well, you need speed. Also, I mean, you got to create negative plays. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And the Giants, I mean, have created turnovers. And I think their defensive line, I mean, you give Patrick Graham credit. I mean, they've found a way to scheme up pressure, and their defensive line has been really, really good. Been really good.
And their defense has been outstanding on third downs.
And Blake Martinez is a tackling machine.
Outstanding. I mean, they held the Eagles for 0-9 on third down yesterday.
Yep, which doesn't happen.
No.
I mean, last five games, they've given up, I mean, just under 21 points a game.
Yeah. Like, they're trending in the right direction when it comes to being good situationally. Like, that's what you want to see. So
that's a ridiculous point he made too. This is not this Giants team in how meaningful these games are have nothing to do.
This
with
matters
the Jets
to this season. You put yourself to have a real chance to win the division this year. The Jets were 1-7. That it was over.
It was over. The season was done. There was
but to his point though, there is something to what he was trying to say though. It's a different kind of pressure when everybody is getting up to play you. Like the year after we won the Super Bowl, it's a little bit different in terms of how teams approach that game as opposed to how they approach a game with a two-win team. That's the reality of it. That's human nature.
But the Giants are let's walk before we can run, right?
No, I'm with you. It matters that you're playing meaningful games in November and December. Like before we can even talk about being in the playoffs and all that other stuff, let's just play meaningful games in November and December and see how Daniel Jones and the rest of the young players react. Then we'll worry about what it looks like in the postseason. Now, if you're able to get to the postseason this year, I think everybody would consider that gravy. And that would, of course, be invaluable experience. All I'm saying is this. It is a different kind of pressure when you're a two-win team versus when you're a seven-win team at this point in the season. It is.
Yeah, but I don't think you can point to yesterday's game as one of those.
No, it wasn't, because the division is up for grabs. I mean, you're talking about one game in the win column separating the two teams. It's not like the Philadelphia Eagles were sleeping on the Giants yesterday.
No, they couldn't.
No.
Philadelphia wins that game yesterday, and they win the NFC East.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, there's no one in the league that has more pressure on them than Carson Wentz right now.
It's awful.
Brutal.
It's awful.
And they got all their weapons back. Miles Sanders is back, and Jalen Reagor is back. And
yeah, but they just came back off of a bye week. So, I mean, it's just like you realize, like, okay, there might be a little bit of rust with those guys, you know, getting going again. And you saw them come out in the first possession of the second half, and that offense was humming.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but you got to credit the Giants for coming back. Daniel Jones answering that score with a score
drive
of his own in two
big-time
throws. So, I mean, that, like, the fact that the kid has that awareness, understanding those situations, like, that's the part of it that we were all waiting for him to figure out. And it seems like the light is starting to cut on with him. So that's a good thing.
Oh, it sure is. It's a good day. A great day. The K Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today at 3 o'clock. Now, we know over the course of the years, the K Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game. And all you have to do is hear one of those voices, recognize it, call with the correct answer, and you win. So make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away the Bartesian, a home cocktail maker that automatically draws from your chosen spirits and dispenses a premium cocktail at the touch of a button in mere seconds. It's all brought to you by the 2020 contest, by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. Monday Night Football preview. We'll do this quickly. Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. An important game for both teams tonight. 8:15 ESPN. Vikings at the Bears, Rick. Yeah, Minnesota has kind of scrapped their way back. We left them for dead, where if they win this game, then they have Dallas. They get back to 500 by the end of Sunday.
Let's go, Bears. Come on, baby.
Well, you're a bad guy.
What do you mean by bad guy?
Well, I picked the Vikings.
It's a competition. Exactly right. Let's go Bears.
So you're concerned that I'm going to pick up a game on you because Chris already picked up a game on you this week.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the wrong decision.
What are you talking about? Chris picked up a game on Rick. Stop it.
You did.
I'm so far out of contention, it doesn't even matter.
No.
I see the reverse psychology now. This is what he's doing. I know exactly what he's doing.
No, I'm way out of the way when it comes to our picks this year. Don't even start that.
You're three games in the win column behind him.
I'm just so glad that we didn't come up with any bet for what the loser would have to do with picks this year.
But it's still pride, and pride means a lot. You don't want to lose this.
It means the most.
Pride means a lot, but not as much as having to get into a tank with sharks.
Yeah.
I was scared to death when that happened.
Yeah, the most docile sharks ever.
There was a high level of anxiety going out to the Riverhead Aquarium, though.
Oh, and I understand.
High
that.
Level of anxiety.
But you handed it like a champ. You were.
You might as well swim with manatees. Ridiculous.
Which also, that's a big animal. You never know. You're scared of dolphins. Give the guy a break.
Sharks.
Yeah, I'm so scared of dolphins. Do you know why I'm scared of dolphins? Because people think they're so crazy that they can weaponize them. That's what they're doing with dolphins, right?
That's true.
You don't swim with the North Korean dolphins. Otherwise, you'd be fine.
I'm not swimming
the
with
North
any
Korean
dolphins.
Variety. Stay away from those.
Big baby. Lack of a Monday Night Football preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Let's bring him in. Mr. Trivia, Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. How are you, boys?
Good morning. How are you? You sound like you're very, very happy today.
He's
well,
got music
got my
now?
Welcome music, man. A little VH in the background.
Look at him. Yeah, of course he's got. Why would he not have music?
Because he's the man over there. Listen, I need to pull the curtain back for a second here. People think Dave is this unbelievably smart guy. Sports savant, no doubt. Nobody like him. But you ask him to change the filter in the basement to the heating and air conditioning, forget about it. Not a chance.
You know what's funny, Andy? You say that, you couldn't be more accurate. I can't do anything around that.
We in the Rosenberg house, we have FW Web on speed dial for all your air and heating needs. Let's go to some baseball, boys.
Are we
Tommy
out of Texas?
Lasorda, the great Tommy Lasorda.
Where are we, Andy?
In baseball.
Today? I know, but typically you're in a city that you're going to ask us about that team.
Oh, I'm in your basement today, Dave. You haven't come down here yet today.
See ya!
We have Tommy Lasorda in the ICU, which had me thinking a little bit about the managers in the NL West. Mr. Lasorda, number two all-time in wins for a Los Angeles Dodgers or Brooklyn Dodgers. Who's number one on the Dodgers win list?
Ooh. Is it Walter Alston?
It is Walter Alston. Don't overthink it.
I don't know how you got that.
What do you mean? He's their most famous manager. Manager
forever.
That's
pretty impressive, though.
Let's go to San Diego. Who is the Padres' all-time winner from managers?
Ron Burgundy.
Hey, classy, CC.
San Diego.
Means Bob
Wales.
Skinner?
He just retired from baseball after
Bruce
this
Bochy.
Past season. Bruce Bochy's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Bruce Bochy, he's number two in San Francisco history. What Hall of Famer is number one?
Hall of Fame player or Hall of Fame
manager?
Oh, manager.
Hall of Fame manager. Number one, Giants organization.
So it's got to be John McGraw.
Quick draw, McGraw is correct. Two more teams in the NL West. Name the Arizona all-time winningest manager.
Is it not Brenly, is it? Bob Melvin?
No, I can't believe what I just heard.
Oh, that's a bad job by me.
Kirk Gibson, can't believe what I just saw.
I gotta be honest with you, I forgot Kirk Gibson even managed the Diamondbacks.
And finally, those Colorado Rockies. Name their all-time winningest manager.
Is it Don Baylor?
No.
Clint Hurdle.
Way to clear that hurdle. Fellas, let's be careful out there. And as always, stay healthy, boys.
Listen, we got time constraints. We got Jordan Renanis joining us.
I'd like to be right. Like, this is supposed to be team effort.
I am too smart.
We got
Rick, what you and I think is irrelevant. Dave feels like the segment with Andy is his time to shine, so he's going to do whatever he wants.
That's right. Stay out of my wheelhouse.
Well, I expect more focus then. You're just willy-nilly throwing names around.
I'm trying to sabotage
the segment.
The first names that come to mind, I'm throwing them out. We did fine. Got John McGraw. We did well.
No, this was not your best effort.
Oh, my God.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.